The sermon for this morning is entitled, Called by Name. And I believe there are some really wonderful scripture readings today that have some invaluable wisdom for each one of us as we seek to make plans and go along in this new year. They're very treasured verses, especially the ones in the Old Testament, in the books of Jeremiah and Isaiah. Some of you know the background of those books. They were written to God's own people, God's chosen, the people of Israel. It was during a time in which the people of Israel were in exile from their homeland. Jerusalem had been sacked, it had been left in ruins, and many of the people of Israel were living in captivity. And so listen, as first I read from the prophet Jeremiah, each prophet in turn speaks the word of God to us today. First Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. And then on Isaiah chapter 43, the first three verses of that chapter, the whole chapter is filled with God's promise to restore Israel and extend God's protection to them. And that's the promise in Isaiah 43. Beginning at verse 1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give you Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. And then, of course, the chapter continues. There's some beautiful language there. I encourage you to read both of those chapters that I offered the first verses of. And then in Mark chapter 1, the lectionary reading for today, we are already into the time after the birth of Christ, into the gospel story of Jesus' baptism. Mark 1, beginning at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, as we now come to your word proclaimed, remind us as your people that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. So help us, Lord, in all that we do to continue in this place to build up your church and to always be willing and open to share our faith with others, and to encourage and care for others, and to pray for one another. And remind us this day that you have called each one of us by name, and you promise to continually care for us wherever we are. In Christ's name, thank you for your promise. Amen. A few years ago, Joyce and I were returning from a trip to Tennessee to visit with family, and we were making our way, coming back, going through the security search at the airport there. We did what you normally do when you go through security. We took off our shoes, we emptied our pockets of change and our cell phones, we had our luggage scanned, and then we walked through the metal detector. And while we were doing all this, all of a sudden, one of the security guards, the inspector at another checkpoint, he shouted, "Stop! in a very authoritative and a very loud voice. What had happened was a man at that checkpoint had simply forgotten to take the change out of his pockets. And he set off the metal detector. And innocently aware of this, not knowing that he had done that, he took off toward his gate. He was late for his plane. But the inspector shouted, "Stop!" And everybody in the whole area, it was so interesting, we all just froze. And for a moment, you could almost feel the fear in the air. It was so thick. "Stop!" It got everyone's attention. And then on the way to the plane, to the gate, I heard someone nearby say, "You know, I think the world that we thought was safe and secure is gone forever." It's a commentary on our time, isn't it? What happened that day in the airport reminded me that we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen next in the world. And even those among us who consider ourselves people of faith, we often can become anxious and afraid in an uncertain world. Indeed, the greatest challenges of faith, I would argue, come in those moments when the world seems to rumble and change comes and the seas roar with everything different. The people of Israel, in our readings for this morning, they knew exactly what that felt like. They were living with a dead past, and they were living with a future that was not yet born. That was exactly the situation of the Jews in this particular day and time in which we read from Jeremiah and Isaiah. What had happened was that the world's great superpower at that time, Babylon, had marched on Jerusalem's home, and the city of Jerusalem had been left in ruins, and the people of Israel were in exile. Many of them were taken by Babylon into captivity. And the people of Israel, we are told in the book of the Psalms, we read, they sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept. They felt like they were pawns in a world in which they had no control. And now, once again, the Jews would be in harm's way because they found themselves in the middle of a war zone. Babylon was sure to be destroyed. War fears swept through the city because now a new power, Persia, had risen and they were rattling their swords against Babylon. What would happen to that frightened little colony of the Jews now that Persia had risen up and was going to attack Babylon? The wheels of history were about to roll over the people of Israel yet again. And they were living in a world not expected to last. A world in which they had seen a past that had died and a future that had not yet born. They were afraid. And then right in the middle of that most fearful moment, there comes this amazing word from the prophet who spoke the word of God. "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. I am with you." Now, we know those words. We know those words especially as people of faith, as Christians. Christians recognize those words. "Do not be afraid. I am with you." In fact, if you had to put the gospel of Jesus Christ into a sentence or a phrase, it might just be this one: do not be afraid. It's something to remember in this new year. Because you remember when the angels saw the shepherds in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, that's what they said: do not be afraid. It was the first word the angels spoke on Easter morning to those who had come to anoint Jesus' dead body. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. He is not here, he is risen." It's what the risen Christ said to those disciples when they discovered his resurrection. He said, "Do not be afraid, I am always with you." You can sum up the gospel in those words. But it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing I've come to understand to believe it. As a matter of fact, in this kind of world in which we live, why shouldn't we be afraid? I mean, it seems like every week, does it not, the news is filled with stories of terrorist plots that have been foiled or carried out, and who knows where the next attack will be. Even in our schools, even though the police and firefighters stand ready, there are still fear among teachers and students that violence will break out, and they hear about violence in schools all over the nation every week. Why not be afraid? And when a security guard, an inspector in a crowded airport shouts, "Stop," that's why people freeze with fear in this day and time. We live in a world that fosters distrust, anxiety, and fear. You know, when you think about it, our fear is not just about the possibility of the stock market tumbling or violence in the streets or the schools. Those are really symptoms of a deeper fear, that we have eternity behind us, we have eternity before us, and we often feel like temporary creatures in the world, unimportant in an uncertain world. And that's why, you see, the prophet Isaiah has such good news for the people of Israel today and for us. "Do not be afraid, says the Lord, I am with you." The prophet knew that the Lord who spoke those words was not some distant deity or some impersonal force in the world. No, God is not that, we learn from these passages. We learned in the psalmist that God is like a mother who listens in the night for the cries of her children. "Do not be afraid, says the Lord, I created you, I formed you, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine." Don't be afraid. The God of Israel, the God whose story is told in the scriptures, always calls people by name. They're always given a name. Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob. Jacob, you remember Jacob? Jacob wrestled with that angel. He saw in a dream those angels ascending and descending from heaven, and he caught on to one of those angels of the Lord, and the angel knocked out his hip. I don't know what that felt like, but I can't imagine it was fun. And then Jacob said, "Before I let you go, bless me." Same Jacob had forgotten, you see, he had been blessed many times over before. But he said, "Bless me." And you remember what the angel did next in that story? He said, "I will bless you, I will give you a new name." And the new name he gave him was Israel. And the word Israel, if you don't know, it means one who wrestles with God. That's something to remember in this new year. When you have questions about the future and about faith, wrestle with those questions, because that's part of your name as a people, one who wrestles with God. The God revealed to the world says through Isaiah, "And I have called each one of you by name." And in Jeremiah, it actually says, "I have plans for you." Now, I've looked up the Hebrew language of that particular phrase, and it's powerful language, because it's not that God has plans for us. In the Hebrew verb there, it's in the present future tense. "I have continual plans for you." Not that I have set plans. I have continual, ongoing plans for you. That makes a big difference. Continual, ongoing plans. And this was the word of God, remember, to people who were discouraged and who were a captured people living in captivity. And when you read the book of Jeremiah, especially, as well as Isaiah, you see that God offered not just quick solutions to their problems, but some very sound advice. He said, for example, to the people of Israel, settle in for the long haul. In other words, build and nurture your families. Continue to work hard. Grow strong. Stop looking for simple solutions. In fact, the people of Israel, as you probably know, they were in exile for 70 years. And so they lived with this promise and this hope, and it was finally fulfilled. Jeremiah essentially said to the people of Israel through God, make the best of where you are. And then secondly, note that Jeremiah said, keep the faith. You have continual plans being made for you. You must learn how to continue to sing the Lord's song in a strange and unknown land, and I would argue in a strange and unknown and uncertain world and time in which we live. You see, it's only the steadiness of faith which will support us in a world of changing circumstances. Our steadiness of faith in a God who is trustworthy. And then thirdly, remember, Jeremiah encouraged the people in that chapter to remember God has plans. He reminds them that they were a chosen people, and Isaiah underscores that and says, each one of you is called by name. And this can be a powerful thing for us to remember in this new year with all the unknowns before us. It had to be a comforting message for people in exile from their homeland. And as we make our individual plans for this year, I wonder if we really believe this about God. Do you? Do you really believe that God has continual, ongoing plans for you? I hope you do. That when you pass through the waters, you will not be overwhelmed. And when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. I want to close this morning by saying what I hope is something very important, something I want to say very sincerely and lovingly to you. I have now been in ministry some 38 years, and I have had lots of experiences in the Christian churches that I have served. And I have baptized many, many children and adults, not just here, but in the Alifi River with Spencer Briggs. But I want to tell you, when we baptize someone, and Jesus was baptized in our story, when we baptize someone, we believe that God calls each person by name. We have the name said and read during the baptism. And when we do that, what we believe in our faith is that their name, that child's name, that adult's name, is joined to God's name forever. And here's the truth of the matter. None of us knows for each child or adult baptized what the future holds for that person. We pray that each child, for example, will have a life that is full of joy and full of health and full of peace. But we also know that each child is a human being. And we know because they are human. In this journey of life, they will face pain and loss and sorrow. There will be change in an uncertain world. We know, as the prophet Isaiah knew, that faith does not protect us from the realities of life. Each person baptized into the promises of God by name, like all human beings, will pass through the waters of life's hardships. Every person will cross the river of life's pains, and we will walk in the fire of being a human being. But we also know that as we do that, God calls each one of us by name. And he says to us today, do not be afraid. I am always with you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this time together in worship, we cherish these moments to sing the songs of faith and to hear your word read and proclaimed, to pray and encourage one another in times of change, in times of sickness. And so we pray today for healing for those that were mentioned that need healing. We pray for those who are sick to continually have good reports about their health and grow strong. We pray for each person here. And as we go from here, remind us to do that by name. For you know each person here by name, and you go with them every day. And Lord, help us to continue by your grace to be your church and to build up one another. In Christ's name, help us to always do that. Amen.